Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for those that are here today, for the printed Bible, for the Holy Spirit. Bless our message to our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. Talking tonight, this morning, on the subject, now you can know the rest of the story. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he that began a good work in you will carry it to its completion. In fact, the gospel is a story. In fact, we hear many hymns about that. I love to tell the story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Wonderful story of love. This is my story. The song that Stan sings, the greatest love story, is the old rugged cross. And we are writing in the gospel a chapter a day by deeds we do, by words we say. Men read what we write, whether faulty or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? The rest of the story, maybe you remember Paul Harvey in his commentary. When he got to the end of his program, he would say, now you know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, good day. My question is, how would you like to be remembered? Because you will be. An elephant is walking along with his friend, and he sees a turtle, picks him up, and throws him into the water. Says to the elephant, why did you do that? He said, that turtle bit me 2 years ago. He said, you remember that? He said, I've got turtle recall. How do you want to be remembered? Mr. Nobel had created dynamite. And because of that, many people have been killed around the world. His brother died, and they put in the wrong obituary and told about how he was instrumental in creating that. He didn't want to be remembered that, so his name is Alfred Nobel, and he created the Nobel Peace Prize. He wanted to be remembered for peace and not for war. At the end of life, a pastor is lying on his deathbed in the hospital. He calls two people to his bedside. One was an IRS agent, one was a lawyer. He put one on one side and one on the other. They said, why did you have us come up here? He said, I've been trying to live like Jesus. Now I want to die like Jesus. He died between two thieves, and I brought you here. I have seven people I want to talk about and the rest of their story. They all start with JT. Number one, Job's trials. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Job lived a perfect life. Job lost his farm, his finances, his family, but not his faith. Job loved God anyway. 16 things wrong with his body. Painful boils, severe itching, great grief, loss of appetite, insomnia, a worm-infected flesh, agonizing discomfort, oozing boils. His teeth fell out, his skin turned black, he had a raging fever, and he had a terrible weight loss. His wife chided him, Eliphaz was accusing him, Bildad was blaming him, Zophar was laughing at him, Elihu was preaching at him, and Satan was ridiculing him, but God was trusting him. And the rest of the story is this. He came out with more than he ever had before. He ended up at the age of 140, started to have 10 more children. And he came out on top. Though God slay me, I'll trust him. Everybody said, now I know the rest of the story. Now I know the rest of the story. Number two, Joseph's temptations. And she spoke to Joseph day by day, but he did not heed her. He had been sold. He would go to prison, tempted every day. His brothers were mean to him. His father was worried about him. Everything was going wrong. He was in prison. He was in a dark and bleak place. What would he do? Oh, the rest of the story is a beautiful story. At the age of 30, he became second commander in the land of Egypt. He came on top. Everybody say, now I know the rest of the story. Now I know the rest of the story. Number three, Jonah's trouble. Jonah 1:15, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. Chapter 1, he was running from God. Chapter 2, he ran into God. Chapter 3, he began to run with God. And chapter 4, he wanted to run God. He went down to Tarsus, down in the ship, down in the water, down in the mouth, down in the stomach. He was the first chicken of the sea. He got sick, but he was smart enough to pray. And out of that prayer meeting, that fish got sick and spewed him on the sand of hope. And he made a 3 days journey in one day. And it is believed that the greatest revival that ever took place in the city of Nineveh. The king, down to the last person on the street, bowed their face before God and repented. He came on top of the story with a great revival. What about John the Baptist's torture? Give me John the Baptist's head on a platter. He wanted to tell the truth. He told the king, it's unlawful for you to live with your brother's wife. Herod's wife didn't like that, and she said, we're going to bring this to a head. And they did. They took his head off. He was beheaded. But I believe that while his head rolled off of his shoulders, I believe his soul rolled into heaven. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, there's never risen a greater man, a greater prophet than that of John the Baptist. Yes, we know the rest of the story. Number 5, John the Beloved's terror. Revelation 1:9, I saw your brother and companion in tribulation. All the disciples but John the Beloved died a martyr's death. Some were sawn asunder. Some were crucified. Some were stoned to death. But it is said in history that John the Beloved was thrown in boiling oil, but the oil didn't burn him. And then they threw him out on the prison island, the island of Patmos, which is by the coast of Turkey, so that the scorpions might devour him. But he came out on top, did he? He wrote the book of John. He's the one that wrote John 3:16. He wrote 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. And he wrote the book of Revelation. The revelation of Christ, the revelation of the churches, the revelation of the climax of history. The scum always comes to the top. Remember that. Well, we can't leave Jesus out, can we? Jesus' tree, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Yes, he's shed blood in 7 different places. Sweat as it were drops of blood. Crown of thorns upon his head, stripes on his back. Nails to his hands, nails to his feet. A spear in his side. There he bleeds, there he dies. Yes, they took him to be crucified. The death squad places unfinished piece of wood on his shoulders, splinters it into open wounds. He walks a half a mile through cobblestone streets, upper Jerusalem. They force him to the ground. His hands and feet are nailed to the tree. He's hoisted up on the cross where everybody could see and mock him. The agony of the body and the soul. There he died, 6 murders in one death, suicide, homicide, fratricide, patricide, regicide, and deicide. Their blood flowed from regal veins upon the starred hills beneath the tree. All of his members bled to show he bled for all of his members. There he cries, there he dies, there he buys our salvation. There he hangs on the cross. But old Nick, the one that got the message, you must be born again, he was there. And Joseph, they pulled the nails out. They took that lifeless piece of clay and they brought it to the dark tomb. A stone, 2 tons, in front of that sepulcher. He's in a dark place. He's dead. They come the next morning, early in the morning, and the angel rolled the stone away. He didn't roll it away to let Jesus out, but to let them in. Do you know why? He was already out of there. He said, I'm he that lives and was dead. Man couldn't resist him. The devil couldn't kill him. The grave couldn't hold him. The stones couldn't stop him. Darkness couldn't hide him. All the flames of hell could not melt him. The Rock of Ages came out of that grave, and he's alive and alive. Give the Lord a hand of praise. He's alive today. So now we know the rest of the story. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But I can't leave out my last point. The Jews in their triumph. I will bless those who bless you. There's always been this desire to exterminate the Jews. In the babyhood of Moses, when she had to hide the little boy. In the days of Pharaoh, when they were killing the babies. Sounds kind of familiar today, doesn't it? In the days of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Daniel. In the days of Esther, where they tried to exterminate the Jews. And also, what about October the 7th, when that terrible tragedy happened in Israel? They're trying to eliminate the Jews, eliminate Israel. Something wonderful happened in 2017. The embassy was moved back to Jerusalem. Thank God this victory had been won, because Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Historically, archaeologists have found out the artifacts connection between the land of the Jews and the seal of the prophet of Isaiah. Legally, the Supreme Court is there. In the culture, it's there. Economically, it's there. But scripturally, it's there. In fact, someday Jesus Christ is going to come and set his feet in Jerusalem. Yes, Israel is on top. And we know the rest of the story, but that's not all of the story. We are part of Israel. What does that have to do with you and me? The Bible says we're grafted into the vine. And that means that we're not only looking for Jerusalem here, but we're looking for the new Jerusalem up there. Spiritual Israel, we're grafted into the vine. The rest of our story is going to be the rest around the glory. Heaven is a place that has a base and a base and a face, has plenty of space at the end of the race, and it's all by grace. You may feel down now, but you're going up. Yeah. You may feel like a caterpillar, but your wings are coming. Triumphant. Listen to this. Don't worry about the hell you're going through. Thank God for the heaven you're going to go to. Can you say amen? Uncle Sam may be our uncle, but he is not our father. Our Father is going to bring us on top. Stand up. Everybody say, stand up. Stand up for the unborn child that has a right to live. Stand up for one man and one woman. God didn't make them Adam and Steve. He made them Adam and Eve. Stand up for purple hearts and white crosses. Stand up for the freedom of religion. Stand up for the Constitution of the United States. Stand up for our military. Stand up for our policemen. Stand up for our parents that have a right to know what's going on in our schools. Stand up for In God We Trust. Stand up for the Liberty Bell and the Statue of Liberty. Stand up for the flag. Stand up for the Word of God. Stand up for the blood of Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for the Bible. Stand up for the freedom of America. Give the Lord a hand if you believe that. Stand up. Just for a minute, if you believe in standing for that, everybody stand up if you believe we ought to stand for that. God bless you. Give the Lord another good hand. Amen. Sit back down. I'm not done yet. Do you know that people that have gone through hard things have had a book written about them? Do you know Jeremiah stuck with the stuff when the stuff was not worth sticking to? The name Jeremiah. Daniel purposed in his heart. We have a book called Daniel. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. We have a book called Joshua. Job fought the fight. We have a book called Job. John fought the fight. We have a book called John. James fought the fight. We have a book named James. John Bunyan was in prison when he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. We are going to stand firm. We're going to be on top. You know, they say we're nuts, but what are the old squirrels going to do when the nuts are gone? They say we're cracked in the head, but that's where the light came in. Can you say amen? We are no fools to serve God. We're going to come on top. Amen. But I want to talk to you just for a minute. The Bible says someday the books will be open. Revelation 20. And the books were open, and another book called the Book of Life. One day it's going to be, this is your life. From cover to cover. God knows everything you've been doing in secret. He knows all about your life. Where you've been, what you've been doing, what you've been saying. And the first books that are open is not to determine about eternal life. But they're open. Because we're going to give account of the life that we've lived. You're going to give account for the words you say. For how often you want to be in the house of God as the leader of your family. How much that you're serving God. The books will be open. And then it says, and another book, which is the Book of Life. That Book of Life is when you accept Jesus in your heart. Ask him to come into your life. You become a saved person. God writes your name in the Book of Life. Someday when you stand before God, he will open that book. Is your name there? Is your name in the Book of Life? Have you had a time in your life when you bow before him and ask Christ to come into your life? He'll write your name in the Book of Life. You can know for sure about eternal life. You can know that you're saved. I talk to you that are hearing, watching, all over the country today, by the way, a medium. What about you? We've had people that have said, I've given my life to Jesus, sitting in my living room, in my hospital bed, whatever the case may be, wherever you are. What will be the rest of your story when you come to that abrupt end and take your last breath? Will it be heaven or hell? I hope the rest of your story will be in heaven. I hope the rest of your story will not be in the awful, dark flames of eternal hell, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where you can never get out, lost forever. Make that decision today. Make the rest of your life the best of your life by coming to Jesus. Say this prayer with me right where you are listening today. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross, poured out your life's blood that I might be saved. Forgive me of my sins. I come to you asking you to be my Savior. Come into my heart, come into my family, come into my home. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that prayer, Christ has come into your life. And you can have a wonderful rest of your story. God bless you. God bless our congregation. God bless the United States of America. Amen and amen. While our heads are reverently bowed, please, eyes.